We want all the Wednesday night youth to come to the choir at this time. We want to do a love song. Tuesday is Valentine's Day, and we want to do a love song for the Lord this morning. So would you make your way forward, please? All the youth, all the teachers, while they are on their way up, I want to announce that a week from tonight, the Heavenly Heritage, Brother Bob Riggs is the spokesperson for that group. They will sing here. Brother Moran's sister is in that group, and I think Brother Moran is going to be kind of featured in some Basie songs. Now, we want to encourage all of our children of this church to participate in our singings. If you would like to do a solo or a duet, or you play if you play the piano or some type of a instrument, we want to get you involved in our third Sunday night singings. If you would see me, I want to encourage all the mothers and the dads to talk to their, you know, children that are taking piano lessons or any kind of a lesson, because we want them to be a part of our third Sunday night singing. So if you would let me know, we'll try to line up at least three on that third Sunday night. It's ironic that the song, the instrumental song that was just played, was "The Way That He Loves." The way that the Lord loves us. And we all know the beginning of John 3:16, "For God so loved." Now, as much as I love my daughter, my three grandchildren, my companion, God loves us a whole lot more than that, doesn't he? And we want to try to do a song that we've been working on a little bit called "Love Is Why." Okay, is there an extra copy? Do I need to go out from this? Okay, everybody stand. Be steady, hold your finger like this.
He never said, I have said. That was beautiful. Appreciate that very much. Before I read my scripture lesson today, I have just a few things I'd like to say. I do want to welcome all of our visitors. And if you are by chance visiting here with us for the first time today, then I want to extend to you a special welcome. And we want you to just come and be with us whenever that you can. I'm just thankful today for everybody that's here. I'd like to say just something else here briefly before I read my scripture. In the world today, in our society today, there's kind of a catchphrase, a cliche that you hear used a lot today about people's people's demeanor about things. And you might hear somebody say, well, he's got an attitude. And I want you to know today, and I realize that you and I are still getting to know each other. I haven't been here very long as your pastor, and we're still getting to know each other. And I just want to tell everybody today that when it comes to preaching the Word of God, I've got an attitude about it. And, I believe that the truth ought to absolutely be preached in love. The pulpit is no place to be a bully. The truth ought to be preached in love. But it ought to be preached for what it is. I don't think we need to, if you'll pardon the expression, when the man of God stands up to preach, he doesn't need to pull any punches. And I really, the things that I preach, I want them to be preached in love, and I want them to be true. And I feel like that when I preach the truth, try to preach the truth in love, I pray that people will believe the Word of God. But the part of it that I would say may be considered an attitude, whether or not you like it or whether or not it angers you, I don't lose any sleep at all over it. I think we ought to just be bold in the truth. And, there are some things that the Lord has placed upon my heart today. And we never know how the Spirit will direct in the message, but there may be some things that I may say today that you may not care a whole lot for. But you know what? I always ask people this. If you hear something that bothers you, if you hear something that angers you, you take it and you study it, and you see if it's true or not. You be like the people there at Berea. You search the Scriptures and you find out whether or not you've been told the truth. And if you've been told the truth, if it makes you uncomfortable or uneasy, you take it, it'll help you. Amen. It'll help you. I'd like to read today from Ezekiel chapter 37, about 14 verses, beginning with verse 1. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me, then please turn to Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning with verse 1. And it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. And that's reading the first 14 verses of Ezekiel chapter 37 concerning Ezekiel's vision that the Lord gave to him of the Valley of Dry Bones. The title of my message today is Let's Have Revival. And I want to, before I go any further, I want to clarify something in the title, because that taken at face value could be somewhat deceiving. And I want to make sure that everybody understands this, that we cannot just think and decide to have revival and have it. Revival, true revival, comes down from God out of heaven. But I do want to say that through Him and through God's great power, we can experience what the Bible would call true revival. True heaven-sent revival. And many people have had differing ideas of what Ezekiel was talking about in this chapter when he spoke about this vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. Some have used it to mean the resurrection that we will someday experience, and others have interpreted it in other ways. But in my estimation, what I believe about these scriptures is I believe that revival is exactly what God was trying to show them. He was trying to show them that He has the power and He has the ability to revive His people. And we need to understand a little bit about the situation here and the circumstances under which these things were written and under which God gave Ezekiel this vision, because Ezekiel was a prophet during the time of their captivity, and they were being oppressed there and held captive under the Babylonian captivity, and they were... Israel was in a horrible shape. They really were. I mean, they were far away from God. They were in captivity, not because they were just simply overpowered and taken. They were in captivity because they were so sinful And they had angered God to the point that God had turned them over into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. And God had allowed this to happen. And they were in a dried up state. Now, those of us that have been saved by God's grace, we don't have to worry about keeping our salvation. We don't have to worry about that at all. In fact, you and I, we don't have the ability to keep it ourselves. But we are never again going to be lost because our souls are being kept by God. And if you look in, I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, if I've got that place right. If not, I'll correct that later. But Peter wrote there and he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And friends, I'm going to be honest with you today. Among the religious society around us today, I don't understand how anybody can read scripture such as that and yet deny the security of the believer. As far as I'm concerned, if you believe that a person that has truly been saved can be saved one day and kept the next day, then you may as well admit that you don't believe that God has the power to keep their soul. Because that is what we are being kept by. We are being kept by the power of God through faith unto that final deliverance, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And God will present every one of his children faultless before the throne. He'll do it. God doesn't lose any of them. And so we don't have to concern ourselves. We don't have to worry about, keeping our salvation because God is taking care of that. God is the only one that's able to save. God is the only one that's able to keep. But I'll tell you what, there is something that you and I need to be very conscious of, and that is our walk with the Lord. It takes some work. It takes some effort to stay close to God, doesn't it? It takes a daily effort. It's not just something that we can do once in a while. If we want to stay close to God and walk close to God and be the spiritual people that God would have us to be and that he wants us to be, then we're going to have to put forth a daily effort, aren't we? When Luke, in his gospel, when he gave an account there of discipleship, he said that something that we have to do in order to be true disciples is that we have to take up our cross daily, daily, and follow after the Lord. And, I think that we need to be examined by God from time to time. You look in the 139th Psalm, and friends, this can be very eye-opening. And I do want to say this, that today I appreciate the feeling that's been among us, the spirit that's been among us today. And I do want to say this, that I don't know, in all fairness, I don't think it would be right for me to judge and say that we have slipped to the point that the people of Israel had here. But I will say this, that I believe that in our hearts, I believe that we've got a ways to go before we're going to experience true heaven-sent revival. And I would to God that we would desire that unusual, extraordinary power from above. And you know, if you look in the scriptures, the examples of the times that that has been sent down from heaven, it seemed to always fall in a time when God's people really drew close to the Lord. They forgot about the things of the world. They forgot about the temporal things of life. They stopped worrying about those things, and they began to go to God in deep, abiding, heart-rending, heartfelt prayer. And they got to the point where their concern was on the things of God, not on the things of this life. And in those situations, God many times has sent His power down from above upon His people in an extraordinary way. Let me tell you something about our church services and what I believe. I believe when true revival comes, and I need to clarify this before I go any further. I'm not talking about a revival meeting today. I'm talking about revival. Listen, friends, we can have a revival meeting, and it's my understanding that we may, the church here, we may very well try to hold a revival meeting here sometime in the spring, in the near future, but we need to understand that we can have a revival meeting without having revival. And we can have revival without having a revival meeting. There is an absolute difference between a revival meeting and a true revival. You know, it doesn't really, to be honest with you, it doesn't really require a whole lot of effort to have a revival meeting. We pick a date, if we can get everybody to agree on one. We pick a date. We may call an evangelist, or we may have the preachers among the church preach. We'll come together from night to night. We'll have some songs. We'll have some preaching. Hopefully we'll have lost people that will be willing to seek the Lord for salvation, but it really doesn't require a whole lot of effort and a whole lot of energy to have a revival meeting. I've been in a lot of them, and I know many of you have too. But it certainly takes some effort to have revival, doesn't it? There are some things that we will have to do. There are some things that are going to be required of us if we are going to have revival. And I started to say something about our church services, and I want to finish that. And folks, listen, I have no desire today to be offensive to anybody, and I hope you understand that. But I do have a great desire to stand for God. And I believe that when true revival comes, it affects our lives. It affects the community that we live in. It affects the world around us. It affects our church services. Folks, listen, if we'll get humble before God and God will send revival down upon us from heaven, we won't have anybody worried about when the clock hits 12:30 that it's time to go home, that church needs to be over. We won't be worrying about things like that. We'll just get involved in worshiping God and honoring God, and we'll forget about time, and we'll forget about what's out there. We'll forget about the temporary things of the world, and we'll just focus on God. And folks, listen, boy, those times are great when we can forget about ourselves, forget about our schedules, and focus on the Lord. And I'll tell you what, I believe that's an attitude of revival. I read in the scriptures how that in the great awakening of revival here in our country, I read in history rather, I read in church history how that people, when they did not have the modern means of transportation that you and I have today, they would get in a buggy, a horse-drawn buggy, and they would go for 30 or 40 or 50 miles, to be in one service. And there would be so many people interested in the Word of God that the meeting house that they were holding the services in would be filled, and people would stand outside for hours in the rain listening to the Word of the Lord. And I'm going to borrow a quote. I heard a preacher preaching one time on revival, and this is what he said. He made comparison to the days gone by when people had such a great love for the Word of God that they were willing to do those things. And he said, now we have reached a point where we won't leave our air-conditioned house and go get in an air-conditioned car and drive to an air-conditioned or heated building and sit on padded pews for more than an hour without thinking that we have done God a great service. Friends, there's more to revival than just attending a church service, isn't there? It's not that hard to attend a church service, is it? We need to understand something, that we don't have anything. Friends, I'll tell you what, you don't have anything. If you think you own it, I've got news for you, you're wrong. You're wrong, it's all God's. The Bible tells me that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and he has established it upon the floods. You know what? God doesn't need anything, and he is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything, because God has control and God owns everything. And again, in the Psalms, God once made it known to David. He said, you know, if I were hungry, and God's not hungry. He's not hungry. He's not hungering naturally like you and I do. But God wanted to make a point to David, and he said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you, because every beast of the field is mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I want you to know something, friends, that we are bought with a price, and we belong to the Lord. And because of that, we are to glorify God in our body and our spirits, which are His, and we don't own anything. The only thing that we have somewhat of control over are the things that God has blessed us with while we live here on the earth, and we are to strive to be good stewards of those things. But you and I don't have any time. God made time, didn't He? God made time. And the only time that I have here on the earth, and the only time that you have here on the earth, is the time that God will give us. And you know, sometimes we get so busy in our lives, sometimes we get to the point where we are letting time control us rather than the Lord. And you know, the truth of the matter is, when God gets ready to cut off time, He's going to cut it off. When God gets ready to end time for you and I as an individual, He'll do it. And so the time that we have belongs to Him. Now, in these scriptures, Israel had reached a place where they were just dried up. You ever been there? I want to remind you again, friends, that we're not going to lose our salvation, but we can absolutely lose our spirituality, and we can lose our influence. And you know, Jesus taught His disciples, He said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. And we can be sure of one thing, that the vine is never going to dry up, because Jesus is the vine. But we can dry up ourselves on the vine. And I'm afraid sometimes we do. And I know if we would all be, I believe, honest with ourselves, then we would all admit, yes, there have been times since I have been saved by God's grace that I have found myself dried up. I have found myself being far less spiritual than what I ought to be. I have found myself far away from God. I have found myself not praying like I should, and not, you know, being a witness for God like I should. I found that I'm just like the dried up bones that Ezekiel saw in the vision there. And friends, listen, when we're like that, we're not of any use to God, are we? We need reviving. I want to tell you something today. Our country is in horrible shape. Terrible shape. I'm going to read some scripture to you. I sure didn't intend to do this, but I'm going to follow the Lord today. I want to read some scripture to you from the first chapter of Isaiah. And I want you to just listen to this. Starting with verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 1. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children. They have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquities, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Now, Isaiah spoke these scriptures long ago, and he spoke them in reference to national Israel, to the nation of Israel. But let me ask you something. When you read those scriptures, I know it does, it has this effect on me. When I read those scriptures and I ponder what they say, America comes to my mind. We live in a nation that was once, a very godly nation, and it was established and founded on very godly principles. And friends, we have strayed far from those things as a nation. And I'm telling you what, today, the lack of spiritual hunger among us as a people and the lack of desire for the things of God rather than the things of the world, and the gross immorality that exists among us as a nation of people more and more all the time can only be remedied by one thing. Our religious leaders today, or our political leaders rather today, are for the most part, they are people. They don't consider God. They don't consider the ways of God. They don't lean on the Lord and trust Him, but rather they lean on their own understanding. And they've got all of these things, and they present all of these ways before us as a people today that we need to do this and we need to do that to make America better. You know what America needs today? America needs a good dose of the love of God shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's what America needs. America needs revival. Let me say this. We better get busy praying, because, and I don't want to make anybody, I don't want to purposely make anybody blue, but I'll tell you what, for those who are raising children in this country today, what a tough time. What a hard time that it really is. We have politicians today, and friends, I told you I was going to preach the truth. We have politicians today. You know what they want? They want to force us to live in a society where our children may have to live next door to two men or two women that are married to each other. Friends, I don't care what anybody says. That's wrong. Amen. That's an abomination to God, and that's wrong. And there are people today that are pushing for that in our country. And I want you to know something, friends. God is bringing judgment because of it. Every time you look around, let's go back for just a moment to what Isaiah said here. He said, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Friends, look at America today. People want to write it off as just an act of nature. But we have seen the last few years, people get hit by a horrible hurricane. And they just barely begin to recover. And they get hit again. And they begin to recover. And they get hit a bit again. And we look out on the West Coast. And the forests out there are just burning up. I mean, hundreds and thousands of acres. Every time you turn around, they seem to be burning up with fire. We see all of these disasters coming into our country. Let me tell you something, friends. America is barely even maintained anymore by Americans. We're losing it. What did Isaiah say? Your country is overthrown by strangers. Did you know that people can come, and I'm not trying to be prejudiced, I'm trying to make a point here. Did you know that people come from other countries and they come into our country here and they get along a lot better than what Americans do? You bet they do. America's being lost to strangers, to people. We're being overthrown by strangers. And the great, beautiful, godly principles that our nation was founded upon are just slipping away, slipping away, slipping away. I pray for the children and for the parents. It's a tough time to raise kids. You send your kid out, you don't know what they're going to hear or what they're going to face. But I know this, they're certainly facing things that they didn't have to some years ago in our country. And we need revival. Sometimes I'm afraid that we hear these things, we consider these things, we may even acknowledge them to be the truth and do nothing at all about it. We just say, oh well, what can we do? Well, I'll tell you what we can do, folks. We can look to God. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. If I shut up the heavens that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What do we do, folks, as the people of God? What do we do when we see these things coming upon us? We turn to God and we pray. We pray. And if there's ever been a time for you and I to pray to God to send revival down upon us, folks, we certainly need it now, don't we? I know some of these things may seem like doom and gloom, but I don't believe you should ever preach doom and gloom without preaching the remedy. And God showed Israel through the vision that he gave to Ezekiel, the valley of dry bones. He showed that even when his people had reached the point where they were just so dried up that they just weren't able to do anything, that God could revive them from that desperate state. He said, you know what I can do? I can take these bones. Now think about it. A valley filled with dry bones, just dried up bones, not being active at all, not doing anything at all. God said, I can take these bones and I can begin to lay flesh upon them. I can lay the sinews of flesh upon them. I can revive them to the point where I can raise them up on their feet, where they can stand and operate as a mighty exceeding army. Friends, let me tell you something today. God can take Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church in our church in the hands of God. Our church revived by God, by the Spirit of God, to the point that it should be, can set Bowling Green, Kentucky on fire. We can set it on fire. We can go out and we can turn every house into a chapel and every street corner into a pulpit. If we're revived, if we're revived, we can be a mighty army in the hands of God. We can't be anything without Him, but we can be a mighty army in the hands of the Lord. And you know what I say? Let us turn to Him with all of our hearts. Let us look to God. Let us pray for revival. Let us pray that God will ignite a flame in our hearts that will send us out to witness to our neighbors, to witness to people that we come in contact with from day to day. May God set a fire within us that the devil and all of his evil forces cannot extinguish. That's what we need to pray for. You know, I'm afraid that as the people of God, as His churches, I'm afraid that we have far too often, we have set sound and secure in our sanctuaries. You know, the church has a lot of work to do outside of these walls. We've taken too much comfort. You know what I found out about preaching the gospel after I'd been preaching a few years? I found out that when I stand in one of our churches behind the pulpit, there's a safety and there's a security there that you have preaching to people that you know for the most part believe what you're saying. But when I went out one time away from the safety of that and stood and preached the gospel, and as soon as I got finished, there was somebody right in my face that was angry with me, didn't like the things I said. You know what? It's suddenly different. It's suddenly different. And I'm afraid that far too long we have sat in the safety of our sanctuaries when there's people out there all around us that need to hear the story that we have to tell. Some of them may not like it. They may get angry with you, but we need to go tell it. We need to be willing to give our lives for the Lord if necessary. And you know what? We're all going to die, aren't we? Isn't that what the Scriptures teach us? It's appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. Well, you and I are not living in a time when we're physically persecuted, but if it comes back, so what? I can't think of any better way to go, can you? That's what I feel in my heart. The flesh may be weak, but I'll tell you what I feel in my heart. I'd rather die for the Lord and His cause than for any other. We need revival, friends, and we need it desperately. And we'll only get it. We'll only get it through deep, abiding prayer. I appreciate your attention. I hope and pray that something's been said that's been a help. That was my objective. Remember, if you're dried up, you're not without hope. I have found myself that way many times and always found out that I could go to God and God could renew His wonderful Spirit within me and bring me closer to Him, bring me back to where I was able to walk with Him. As long as we've got God, we've got hope. Wonder if somebody has something on your heart today. If not, thank you for being here. Do remember the service tonight at 6:15. Come and hear Brother Davison. I'm looking forward to hearing him preach. Come and support him tonight. Remember to see Brother Joey Hayes about the DVD. And